Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring? ZipRecruiter has revolutionized how you do it. Their technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. They find great candidates for you. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. Hello, welcome to All About Android. This is episode 369, recorded on Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How you guys doing? We're back from Google I.O. I was told earlier today that I have a tan, and why do I have a tan? And then I was like, well, because I went to a developer conference that is largely held outside for 3 days.
Really?
Straight.
You didn't go outside this weekend? It was nice on Saturday.
I mean, I guess I kind of did, but I wouldn't have a base by then.
Oh, you set the base at Google I.O.
I think I set the base at Google I.O.
Look at that. Developers conferences. setting the base for the tan.
Joining us, not pre-I.O., which is what usually happens, but post-I.O., because as you saw last week, we had a different episode, I.O. episode, is Mike Wolfson, returning. MikeWolfson.com, Google developer expert, all-around awesome guy. It's good to have you back, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome to be here. I feel like I was bumped for very worthy folks last week. Epic.
Sorry to bump you. You know, Google played around with how they scheduled I.O. this year. Instead of starting it on Wednesday and going through Friday, which is what they've done for a long time now, this year they started it on Tuesday to go through Thursday. And of course, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were throwing us off because we record on Tuesday night.
That was the plan.
It was the plan all along, after all.
Although I got to say, after many, many years with Mike being the pre-IO guest, I liked starting a new tradition of him as the post-IO guest, like the breakdown.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's about time.
Because we were all there.
Yeah.
You've graduated from the speculation to the post-game analysis.
That's a good, perfect. Nice.
There you go.
And I will say it was awesome hearing Chiyuki in my place pre-IO. She had it was awesome hearing her too. So
yeah, no, Chiyuki was awesome on the show. We're definitely going to get her back, and we're thrilled to have you along. Although it is kind of, you know, the downside of this is that we don't actually have you sitting at the table like we normally do.
That's a bummer.
So you know, it's not too much to ask of you to stay another
next
week.
Year. Stay. Just stay in Sonoma. It's beautiful. It's beautiful up here.
It's beautiful up
here. There's goats.
Yeah, plenty
horses
to keep you entertained.
Cheese.
all sorts of things. By the way, I didn't get a chance to do this last week, and I just want to make sure and throw this out there. We had a lot of awesome help on the set at Google I.O. last week. It was an amazing episode. If you didn't catch it, definitely check it out. But I just want to give a big thanks to John, Colleen, and Alex, who all were on location.
Yeah.
And they were there early. They set the whole thing up. We got a lot of comments from people saying everything looked great. They were like, I want that to be your new set. So, yeah, we couldn't have done it without them. And so thank you. And there it is. It is a nice looking set. I have to say, we had a conference
room. It was.
They made it look really sharp.
Very professional.
Yeah.
Very.
And those were all refrigerators and cupboards behind us, by the way.
Yeah.
That opened to reveal just a bounty of deliciousness.
Lots of snacks
in
and drinks.
Every little.
Was it lots of Oreos?
There were usually Oreos around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oreos could be found almost everywhere you looked.
Well, they're delicious.
They are.
Which is why they named Android after them.
That's right.
Well, speaking of Oreos, stay tuned to the end of this episode for an epic Oreo tasting.
Very epic.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to miss that.
We're not just saying it. Yep. Like,
no, it really
or
was.
Or maybe you do want to miss that. I don't know.
Don't miss it.
Check it out for yourself. We've got a lot to talk about this week. We're going to discuss our final thoughts on the announcement. As Ron said, kind of post-game analysis from the stuff that we learned at Google I.O. last week. We're also going to get a first look at the Lenovo Mirage, which is very interesting. It's the first standalone Daydream VR headset. The Honor 10 was announced. HTC had some wackadoodle late-breaking kind of like news about their next phone. I threw that in very last minute. Maybe we'll make it breaking news just because. Pocket Cast acquisition happened a couple of weeks ago. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. Google News app happened last week. Some of this episode, I will admit, is looking at the past. It's recap. But it's stuff that we would want to talk about anyway. Yes. So let's not waste any more time talking about the things we're going to talk about. Let's talk about it with the news. Not that one.
My schedule's still messed up from last week.
Perfect.
So here's Android News.
There we go. All right. Hey, that works for me. I don't know about anyone else, but I think you nailed it, Victor. That's called thinking on your toes. Okay, so we were, the three of us anyways, Mike, Flo, and I, we were at Google I.O. Ron, we missed you. We wish you could have been there. I'm holding out hope. Next year's your year, man.
I'm crossing my fingers, hopefully. But I was sitting here in New York, refreshing the live blogs that were covering it, jealous, watching you guys on Twitter. Although I will say that, Jason, I normally follow along with you very closely, and then you kind of petered out.
I was taking a lot of notes.
At the end there, we started to get really like scholarly. You and I were just like,
taking notes. You're right. I didn't do the live Twitter blog thing as much as I have done in the past, but I was taking a ton of notes because I knew I had the interview coming up the next day, and I wanted to have a really solid outline to refer to.
Well, it's funny because later the day of the keynote, I believe I texted both of you and I said, so that was a little meh.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe you would agree with me because you hadn't taken as much, you hadn't tweeted as much. But here you were just being studious and taking good notes. So here I am.
Yeah, I apologize about that. I didn't really put out a lot of stuff on Twitter during the announcement. Now I'm regretting it.
I thought the whole thing was very, very interesting, but not mind blowing in any capacity.
Okay.
Except for the duplex thing, which is the thing that, which we'll talk about and everybody will go with. But yeah, overall, I was more on the underwhelmed side of things.
All right. General consensus there from Ron. All right. How about Mike? Let's start with you being the guest. What was one of the things that was kind of top of list for you that you were interested in?
Okay, my number one thing, and I was thinking this would be the one that all of you guys agreed with most importantly, but was the digital well-being that they were talking about. So I thought it was super important for Google to kind of answer Facebook. Obviously, Facebook's been going through so much privacy concern and all that stuff. And it has us all thinking about, you know, how much our devices are in our lives and taking over, you know, our experiences. And Google, I thought, was so the opposite of tone deaf in kind of addressing it and, you know, promoting this joy of missing out or concept of turning off your phone, which I think is super interesting. Like, you know, where they had the feature in P where you could, your phone would go dark at the end of the night, not dark, but
black and white.
Yeah. That was super cool. Those sort of things that are going to help me and, you know, maybe my family disengage a little bit from our devices and, you know, maybe engage interpersonally. I think that's super powerful.
Definitely talked to a decent amount of people at the conference that were very, I don't know, almost vehemently opposed to these features. Like, why do people need them? Like, don't tell me what to do with my phone. You know, and I'm just like, well, I don't think they're telling you what to do with your phone. I think they're giving you a tool that if you want to use it, might allow you to live your life the way you want to live your life, right?
It's the same thing as, you know, I know I have friends of mine who are writers or, you know, do a lot of work on computers and feel the distraction of social media and the distraction of surfing and stuff like that gets in the way. So they install a little helper app on the desktop, which basically blocks any web browser so they can focus on writing and it stays blocked for an hour and then they can go check in and then they go back. You figure out how to use the tools to adapt to your lifestyle. Yeah. And that's exactly what I saw like this, Jason, like you're saying. It's a way that if it's a problem for you, this is something that you can enable baked into the OS. It doesn't hurt anybody. Just don't use it if you don't need it. Like, I personally don't need it as much, but I'm sure somebody does. Somebody like Flo might.
I do. I do need it. Thank you, Ron, for calling me out.
Well, no.
But I mean, Ron's right. I mean, he knows me. That's the problem with that's what works between me and Ron. He knows me. I need it.
Yeah, well, you guys do share a birthday.
I need help being taken out of the distraction, and I actually really appreciated these things that were announced.
Yeah. I know I'm probably going to use the whole monochrome thing. I already, when I want to, like, when I'm at a restaurant and I don't want to look at my phone, I set it face down because I don't want to see.
Why is it out?
What's that?
Why is it out?
Because it's a big, huge phone, and otherwise it's in my pocket, and it's uncomfortable to sit down in a chair with the phone in my pocket.
A bag.
I'm not carrying a Merce. I'm not doing the Merce thing.
I will say the whole put the phone down and putting it on Do Not Disturb. I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb all the time now.
Same. 100%.
It's never not on Do Not Disturb at all, ever. So it's funny.
It's
not the problem with
Do Not Disturb. It's the problem with you reaching for your phone and looking for it. So it's not at this point we're all in control of maybe blocking notifications or stuff from reaching out to us. It's the capacity of, for you not to check your Twitter notifications, not to check your Facebook notifications.
Not to go down the hole, down the path of self-regret. Really, that's what it becomes. Why am I on this Instagram page? I feel awful about myself.
Right. Mike, what is your second?
Okay. Second, that thing that I was super excited about, and I think that was maybe a little bit unsung, was Linux apps running on the Chrome OS. Mm-hmm. I think we're a little bit early, and this is one of those things that they showed off that may or may not materialize in a quick manner. But once it does, it really changes the Chrome OS device from, it makes it into a little bit more of a real computer. They showed Android Studio running on Chrome OS. So that opens that computer up to me. And then the second half of that is, and I think this is what maybe Ron might be excited about as well, is the kind of tabletification of that device as an Android tablet with stylus support. I'm super excited to see them pushing that and excited to get my hands on that. I want a iPad replacement that runs Android.
Agreed.
Me too.
Yep.
I was sitting with Ron Amadio, who had the Pixelbook, Ars Technica. Maybe someday I was trying to convince him, like, hey, we got to get you on the show again. He's been really busy.
Friend of the show, Ron Amadio.
Friend of the show. But he was doing the whole Linux on the Pixelbook thing, sitting right there. So I got to kind of see it a little bit. And there were a few pain points. One of the pain points that he discovered is, like, he took a screenshot in the Chrome OS, realm.
Yeah.
And then that file is stored in Chrome OS, and there was no real way to get to that file from the Linux instance. Like, it was like they were on different separate kind of file paths.
That's convoluted.
And it was actually a big challenge. Like, it was, there were like five of us around him, like, well, could you, that didn't work. You know, like trying to troubleshoot it.
Wow.
So it's not without its pain points, I think. Maybe they'll make that a little bit easier as it goes along.
I think there
really
will be
great
pain
news.
Points for a little while.
Yeah.
I think that that was one of those premature announcements that kind of, it's not quite ready yet from my experience. Mm-hmm. But
I think people have been wanting this for and wondering why you couldn't do this for a long time. Like, I want to be all in on the Google world. I'm an Android developer. Why do I, I've heard it many times. Why do I have to use like a Mac or a PC to develop for Android? Why can't I use Google's, Chrome OS operating system? And now apparently you'll be able to do that. So that's good. And then what's your third?
And then my third, and this is just my personal passion, and I'm excited that Flo is also interested in it, is the material theming stuff. So, at the beginning of I.O. or before I.O., we were hearing about, material design 2.0 or, what's this going to be. So the truth is, it's kind of just an evolution. There's nothing totally different or a radical change. That's exciting. I've learned material design for a couple of years, so I'm not excited to throw all that knowledge out. And then the sketch tool that they've created that allows all the designers to really quickly use the proper components and material design components that'll work really well on Android is super exciting to me. As a developer, it's going to make my world so much easier because it creates that kind of constraint, mm-hmm. keeping us all talking the same language and using the same components more or less. So that we can all kind of work towards the same thing instead of the designers not really constraining themselves to material design as much and then hoping that we can kind of match it.
Nice. And Flo, this is on your list as well, right?
Yes. And actually, I was going to start off with that as one of my
three
things.
We're there.
Which was material theming, which Which is, like Mike was just saying, it's not a whole new design paradigm. It's just a way for developers to more easily design within these parameters. Because I guess what happened, or what I was hearing from developers and across the board, was that it was kind of hard to really establish any sort of like brand identity within material design, because everything was either kind of hard to branch out, or it wasn't really suggested to really branch out with what, you know, the parameters Google was giving developers. So in this sense, there's an algorithm sort of working in the background and telling you, like, okay, this button placement is good, but you probably want to pick this color scheme to go with the rest of the palette that you've chosen for this app. And the thing is, too, is that Google's going to be updating this monthly, or at least that's what it was said on that FastCo article, and is going to introduce new elements along with it that are customizable. So the idea is that there will be these different interface elements that are completely customizable, but that are also within the same. It's like it's having a what you see is what you get editor. And I wrote a little piece for Engadget, just sort of like exploring the ethos of this and how it's going to affect Android users. And I mean, it's just going to make our apps look better. Mm-hmm. Is really what it's going to do overall. It's going to help encourage developers to use Google tools to make apps across the board, not just for Android, but for iOS and web apps as well. And so imagine this Google brand identity existing on top of other brand identities is kind of, I mean, that's what I see it personally, of being, you know, that's one part of it that I see. But the other part is just maintaining a consistent user experience across the board on different platforms and having Google facilitate that, which I'm down.
Mm-hmm. So just one small thing, and that's that the way this whole like tool set is designed is when the designer is using a particular component, they're going to be constrained to what the Android material design components will actually support. So let's say that they want to use a fab, and they want to put maybe a gradient or maybe a stroke around the outside of it. Mm-hmm. If the material design component on Android supports that, it'll be super easy to customize that component in Sketch for the designer. But anyway, that constraint is kind of built into the framework. So you'll be able to customize within material design, which is really nice, based on the constraints that they're kind of have created for us, and they're actually additionally flexible with this new theming tool, and that'll be really easy to duplicate throughout the app. And then if you want to customize, mm-hmm. which is fine, there'll be, you know, you have to optimize, and you'll know that it'll be very clear that you're going outside of the framework, outside of these kind of standard components, and here's why.
Yeah, and I think what I'm looking forward to from this, they pointed it out as they were talking about it, which is this idea that material design, as it stood, it was very easy for developers who wanted to adhere to it closely to do so, and then what they end up with is an app that looks like all of the other apps that also adhere very closely to it. At least now you get the general restraints or, mm-hmm. or kind of guidance around how, you know, how these apps should flow, how the elements should be implemented and everything, but still a little bit of that flexibility to make sure that even though it's working within those boundaries, you still have some sort of a separate brand identity that really kind of makes it stand out, you know, versus all of these other apps that are doing something similar. So
yeah.
I think that's a good direction. What's your second?
So, and Victor, I have to apologize because I misnumbered these in the doc, but my number two is actually better communication with Assistant. So there were a lot of announcements made around how it's going to communicate better with us. It's going to require fewer hey G's before you can actually do, you know, perform what you like to perform, which kind of leads to a more conversation, which makes it less tedious to use, because I think that's one thing that's very cumbersome about the Google Home right now, is that sometimes the user experience is a difficult experience because mm-hmm. I have to say so many things in a row to get these things, and you know, I'm trying to use it over the apps. I'm trying to use it for what it's supposed to be for.
Yeah,
you know,
this was probably the second biggest. And I always measure these announcements by how relevant they are to my wife. because she's an, you know, like total average user. I forced the Google Home upon her or whatever. When I was going over the list of stuff over dinner that night, and I was like, oh, Google Home will be able to use the assistant and be conversational. You won't have to say OKG every question. And she's, it's finally, like, that was the reaction. Yeah. So I think that's something going to help that user experience for sure with the, you know, the conversational approach with Google Assistant. And I liked, I don't think, I'm not stealing this from anybody else there, but they have the kindness indicator for kids, which I thought was good, where kids can get karma, can get points for saying please instead of ordering the Google Home around.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to also mention that that particular thing is, I believe it's an action that you can enable the Google Assistant.
And can
from what I was reading about it last week, and I hope I'm not completely out of bounds here, but from what I was reading is it's provided by a service, like a family service, is you kind of activate this because otherwise Google's not going to care if you say, or the assistant is not going to say, why didn't you say pretty please?
I won't do that. Ask nicer next time, yes. Jimmy.
Yes.
Is what it should say.
I mean, it should. And I'm really looking forward to putting that on at home for my husband, by the way, who I think could talk to Google Assistant a little more nicely than he does.
Let's face it. We probably all can.
Yes.
We've all had our
moments. I know
moments.
We have bad days, but you wouldn't yell at your dog, would you? No. Don't yell at your
Well, if my dog's getting into the food that's on the counter, I'll yell at my dog.
You're right. I would yell at my cat for that reason, too. Okay. So there is
number
three. But number three, which might actually cause you to just yell, because it caused me to... This is something that I've been really ruminating on since I saw the demo. I've been really thinking about it. And I realize I've gotten a little conspiratorial with some of the things that might be done with it. But I don't care, because that's where I'm at. Mentally, emotionally, is Google Duplex really did a number on me. I think I had an existential crisis the minute... this demo was happening on stage. Like, what is it to be human? Is it me saying, Apparently it is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all you need.
I just heard it.
Saying,
you're a robot. I just heard
you
be a robot.
Just sticking a little wire into me.
What I thought was great about the Duplex announcement wasn't the first demo where the hair appointment gets made. It was the second demo for the restaurant reservation that went wrong. That's when I threw my hands up and I'm like, oh, it's over. It's all over. Like, it's just the fact that they were able to show when the assistant was able to deal with a situation that it didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
And like the moment it said, gotcha. Okay. Thanks. And like, it was like, what? How is this real?
Yeah.
So listen, the reason I'm like, so first of all, I also think that this is a very like helpful piece of technology that exists. Like, this is not just going to be, this isn't. The idea of it is not supposed to be nefarious. The idea of it is this is literally the assistant embodied. This is what an assistant does for you.
Yeah.
It calls other people for you. It deals with the emotional labor of talking to other people. That's what a robot is supposed to do, and that's what it's supposed to help you with. Of course, we did, you know, all week people were talking about like the different ways this could be used within accessibility. Like, it could really help connect people down the line, something that is very difficult for us to do in our current form as humans, because you can't just learn a language like that. Or, you know, if you can't speak, it's not just going to come out of nowhere. And it's good to have this help. But then on the other end of the spectrum is like, well, how is this, you know, who's going to take this technology or this idea and use it badly? So
maybe
it just
no
makes
one?
Me think about the future. That's not even related to Google. I'm just putting it out there for this kind of technology to exist.
Yeah.
There's a lot of responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wait till we get to the things we didn't like before I segue into.
All right.
What I want to say after that.
Well, I could use, if Flo, if that's it, I could use that as a segue into mine, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Because one aspect of the assistant being able to call in Sundar's demo, which as cool as it was to see the assistant calling a business and make an appointment or try to make a dinner reservation or whatnot, he brought up a specific use case, which actually I think is way more interesting than the show-off technology. And that ties to the first thing I want to talk about, which is basically all the upgrades to Google Maps that they're making. As you know, the AR stuff is neat. The fact that they have AR, you know, directions and all this sort of stuff, but they seem to be doubling down on recommendations and business information and, you know, kind of going after Yelp as a lot of the articles kind of compared it to. I find myself going to Google more than any other recommendations place for local business stuff. Is this place any good? Do they have, you know, what does the menu look like? All that sort of stuff. And tying it back to the assistant, the example Sundar gave was that the Google assistant can call a business first thing when they open on a holiday like Memorial Day and say, what time do you close? And they say once, they'll say, oh, we're closing at 2:00 today. And then they will update the listing on Google for that business. Because how many times have you looked up and be like, oh, are they open today on this holiday? And it says hours 9 to 6 might be affected by Memorial Day. Now the assistant can call and find out, and you can head it off at the pass by getting it in the search results.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's amazing. They'll save the business tons of calls, and we get better results in our searches. Like, that's the real power of the assistant and the recommendations improvements that they're making. I think it's just it's amazing. That's totally amazing.
And that's the only way that this works, is if that magic happens, because otherwise, if you're the vendor and you get a call, this is a robot calling to find out information, and it doesn't connect that, you're going to hang up every time. Mm-hmm. This is a robot. Yeah. Goodbye.
Right.
But
right.
If you're like, oh, this, I only have to talk to Google once and it's going to work.
Yeah.
Otherwise, an assistant calls me to try to make reservations for Megan, and you know, it's not quite as smooth as what they demoed. I'm not going to answer that call again when I'm busy.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Florence's assistant.
Ugh. This is Florence's Google assistant.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. So Google yeah. I.O. Gotcha. There you go. But I really like the recommendations changes that they're making. Not changes, but just the investment that they're making in local businesses and local information. Because at the end of the day, Google is about search, and to me, that search is information, and that's still keeping to that mantra that they have of their direction.
Yeah.
The other things I wanted to hit on was Android TV. We all thought we knew what Google was going to announce, and we thought they were going to zig, and they zagged. We also talk about how Google I.O. isn't a hardware announcement, and it's not for the most part. Nobody walked home with any device, but they did announce the JBL Link Bar, which is going to be a sound bar that's got Android TV in it as well as the assistant. It's almost like a triple threat in terms of what it does as a device. Very cool device. Very good way to get Android TV and assistants into homes. Really, really sleek integration. I was thinking about buying a sound bar for my TV, and now I'm thinking of waiting till the fall to get it. It's not that bad either. It's going to be like, I think, between three and $400.
Okay.
So yeah,
it'll sound good. It's JBL.
Yeah, JBL. So, we got that soundbar. We also found out that little dongle that we thought was all going to be the new Android TV dongle, or whatever. It's the ADT2 development kit, which is a little dongle that runs Android TV for developers to use to make apps to the platform. Which I think is great because it shows an investment in the platform and they want to make it easy for developers to work with it. Although I got to wonder when they're going to expand that out to consumers.
Yeah.
But they made little improvements to Android TV, which shows that they're committed to that as a platform. And, you know, I know a couple weeks ago we were talking about how great Chromecast is, but how not user-friendly it is. It seems like some of the changes they made with, like, making setup easier, making app discovery better, you know, helping you with suggested settings, those are all little tweaks that make the Android TV experience a little more consumer-friendly, which I think is important. And then finally, the last thing I noted was another hardware announcement, but the kind of – we knew these existed, but the anointing by Google of the smart display – basically an assistant with a screen, which I got to say, you know, I think that's going to be where the next Google Homes are going to have screens on them. Amazon's already moving in this direction. So the fact that Google's going in this direction shows you that they believe in it. And as somebody who creates content for a living, it opens up a lot of possibilities.
They had these on display in the assistant sandbox. If you went in there, they had a whole area that was nothing but, that table was all smart displays, like four different kinds that you could interact with and have it, you know, kind of fire off a recipe.
Lenovo, LG were the two.
Yeah, and they look nice. Like, I'm very curious to get one and
they play YouTube TV.
They do.
So Ron and I can watch our shows.
Yeah. You can, yes, you can. You can watch,
you can
your
watch
stories.
Our stories.
All right,
the
awesome.
Android things. Booth, sorry, they also had demoed the assistants with screens, and they had they showed the evolution of, I'm not sure which device specifically, but they showed the evolution of a prototype from one that was literally built with Legos.
Oh, and, yes, like, that's right. They AT did
kit. Into different prototypes and showed how it evolved from an Android Things kit to actual product, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I must have missed that part of that display. So I'm looking forward to the smart displays. You aren't going to have to wait very long. Launch in July. Mm-hmm. My three things, just real quick, because running a little long. First of all, I'm super excited about the fact that this time the beta, this actual beta that's happening right now with Android P, is not only available on Pixel devices, but it's also available on a number of other devices. There were some notable missing OEMs, like Samsung isn't on there, Motorola isn't on there, but Essential. Ron, do you still have the Essential? No.
I don't.
No.
No. I never got it.
Yeah, you never got that. You were up on Essential, but you didn't get it.
I wanted it, but no.
Yes, our guest here, Jake, is doing the fist pump. He's like, yeah, Jake from Baltimore is here with his wife, Portia, by the way, 30-year anniversary, and they're choosing to spend it with us, which is amazing. It's so good to have you guys.
Not with Oreos, though.
Yes.
Celebrating with Oreos. Yes.
Stay tuned to the end, and you'll find a little bit more on that. So there's a number of different phones, and I think that's promising, right? That this is actually possible, that OEMs are actually willing to do this, one. And two, I think that it kind of shows the power of what Google was going for when they started to go down this treble path of separating things, you know, from the OS to the hardware. It makes things like this a little bit more possible. Now, granted, if you're on these other devices, you don't have the easy, the seamless kind of like opt into the beta program sort of method in order to get the beta on. I think you have to sideload it or install it through ADB tools. But still, it's great that this is even possible, and that gives me hope for the future. So that's cool. App actions and slices. If you saw last week's interview episode, hopefully you did, we talk a whole lot about that, so I don't feel like I need to spend a lot of time on that. But I really like I like the idea here, which is that, you know, these different components of apps are starting to embed themselves into other pieces of the OS. And if it's done really well, if it's done properly, and I would say that remains to be seen at this point, because I want to be able to play with them and really interact with them. If it's done well, then it kind of becomes the sort of thing that's not necessarily a feature as much as it's just embedded sensibly, you know what I mean? So I'm really curious to see how that develops. And then something that I imagine most people probably didn't care about, but I played around with it in one of the sandboxes and I thought it was really cool, it involves AR Core, and that's Cloud Anchors. And this is the idea that you can have multiple devices playing with the same augmented reality objects in the same space. So in this example, this is a video that I shot. Two of us have phones connecting to the same kind of game space layout on this table, and we start playing a versus mode against each other. If you skip about halfway through, you see the versus mode kind of happening. Let's see here. Yeah, so we're both kind of connected to each other and playing in the virtual space.
Finally.
I just think that's a really cool game mechanic, potentially, and I'm sure developers can come up with some really neat ways to use that.
Please do.
It's very cool.
So real quick, before we kind of venture out of this, we gotta you know, I'm sure we have things that we didn't like. What Mike, you want to start off, because I share your pain on this one.
Okay, so logistics wise, the tents were just super awful, and I'm not unique in saying this, but the seats were just horrible. I think we've complained about those sort of things every year. Oh. I mean, you look at those, you know, there's three, you know, there's good couple hundred, many pounds of, you know, man sitting there trying to all squeeze into these tiny little seats.
Those seats were really uncomfortable. They were, and they were uncomfortably like close to each other. Like there was just no room. Like if you were person to person to person to person, like you're basically on top of each other. I mean, yeah, I completely agree. They were very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a first world problem or, you know, but the truth of the matter is it was super duper bad. And it's kind of one of those logistics things about Shoreline that are still kind of quirky and difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Flo, how about you?
Well, there was nothing in the keynote that was really about privacy. And I feel like with a lot of the announcements that we had during the Google I.O. keynote, it would have been nice to just, I don't know. There's a lot going on in the world right now with regards to privacy and what's being done with data. And, you know, it'd be nice to kind of have Google be a little more forward about that with all of this data that they would like to give us all these things.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, just a little something there, a nod.
It was interesting that Facebook, time and time again at their F8 conference, pointed this out. Now, granted, Facebook's totally under the microscope.
Yeah, they have a lot to make up for.
They have a lot to make up for.
They have ads on cable TV right now, by the way.
All right.
But Flo, I feel like anything that Google did, they probably would have gotten criticized for gloating or dancing on a grave or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I feel like
true.
Google's in a, they don't have any breaches. They've been in a pretty good spot. They've done a lot about privacy. In fact, we were just talking over email the other day, the new privacy policy explain thing. Remember, yeah. Burke emailed us about that. That whole, they've just overhauled everything about their privacy side of things. So, and if you haven't got a chance, I believe it's just google.com/privacy.
Well, they had to for the EU ruling.
Policies.google.com/privacy. Is that it? No, that's different.
It's privacy.google.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
You know, like this whole great job of explaining their privacy stuff. I don't know. I get you that it's a big deal, but it's also, I don't feel like Google's in the hot seat really for this one.
But maybe say, I don't know, because everybody takes digs at Google. And so I just maybe say like, hey, by the way, did you know that we have a whole portal on the internet that we put together like for you to read through the privacy policies?
Or something added to make things even more, to make it even more secure.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So
precisely.
I can see that. All right.
Let's see here. As for me, I'm still trying to figure out. So I've got Android P that I've been using, and I'm still trying to kind of get comfortable with the gestures, which, you know.
You're not the only one. I've been hearing this. I've been hearing this across the board, is the gestures.
I'm getting more used to it for sure. The more I use it, the easier it's getting. But it's this whole like
it's a new usage paradigm
thing where, you know, you swipe up to get to your app drawer. Like if you're gonna go the whole way when you're single handing it right now, it's really hard to do.
Ugh. Especially on a phone that tall.
Yeah. Like there we go.
I think that'd be easier on the Pixel too.
But anyways, I have to imagine that with the gestures, they're going to fine tune this up to release. But I am getting more used to it. The problem is it's taking a really long time for me to get used to it. And, you know, I feel like when I was using the iPhone 10 earlier this year, yes, that's gestures. And I got it really quick. There's something different. There's something. So whatever.
So you asked them about this last week. And I think that the nature of it is there needs to be some sort of really good training.
Yeah.
I've watched them a few times, and of course, watching is different than actually doing. But during the keynote, they demonstrated it, and a few other places, they made a big point of showing exactly how to do it. And it just doesn't necessarily feel intuitive or just easy to grok.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. So
I don't care how much onboarding you do. If the concepts aren't easy to just kind of understand naturally,
right.
It's hard to do.
And I mean, at least right now it's an option. I don't know if it's going to be an option in the RTM, but
or Mike's right. It doesn't matter
to consumers.
It doesn't matter how many cute onboarding animations you have. Doesn't make
lots
it
of clouds and bubbly characters. Ron, what about you?
Like I said at the top of this, I was just underwhelmed. At no point in my day did a normal say, hey, did you see the Google announcement? Like it didn't break through to, you know, and I understand, again, this isn't a consumer event. This is a developer event or something like that. And a lot of the stuff they announced was very interesting. But Duplex was the only thing that, as far as I can tell, had any legs outside of our bubble for more than a day. And there just wasn't any major like, oh my God, I could you see that? I can't believe it. Aside from Duplex, right. So
it's definitely Duplex. You're right, Ron.
Yeah, that was the thing.
There's even a funnier die skit about it. Anyway.
Oh really? Oh, I'll have to check that out. All right, that was our retrospective look at Google I.O. And now we can look forward to next year's Google I.O. And we will do that. We'll start speculating right now. Let's take a break. Before we continue on and get into the hardware news, I'm going to thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that's ZipRecruiter. If you happen to, you know, if you're a business owner, you're hiring, you're looking for the right person, then you know what it's like. Every business needs great people and a better way to find them, something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right person to see it. ZipRecruiter knew that there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, it identifies people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply for your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. It makes it super easy for you. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications that you receive. So they call them out so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Android. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/Android, and check it out for yourself. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, I know you've already played the hardware bumper, but it's such a great bumper, Victor. Let's do it again. I liked it better the first time with you talking over it. Just throwing that out there. Flo.
I was taking off some plastic.
Oh, that's my favorite part. Father plastic. Robert, however, does not do that. He leaves the plastic on.
Well, I'm a jerk. here, put this on. Yeah,
well, hold on. I feel like this needs to come
yes,
off a little bit
right,
better.
Yes, you're right, it does.
Than that.
I know. I just, you know, I feel bad.
That plastic, that's going to drive me
well,
insane.
Well, all right, I'll explain what's going on here. So for the first order of business for our hardware section today is a show and tell of the Lenovo Mirage Solo, which is, as you guessed it, a solo daydream standalone.
Kind of looks like headset. A smiley face.
It does look like a smiley face. This is the first daydream standalone device. No handset required. It's the first to utilize Google's World Sense tracking. Did it turn on when you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I told Jason that it does this cool little thing where when you take it off, it immediately puts it into standby, and then when you put it back on, like everything comes back. Like, which is nice.
I want that to fit a little
so
bit
so you can
but
adjust here in the back.
Okay,
and then there's also a button on the bottom of, right here, on the bottom of the device that you can use. It's kind of like getting into a car, you know, when you're adjusting the wheel and all that,
it
right?
It says, we're having difficulty finding your controller.
Let me give you the controller right here. Your nice tanned hand. Sorry. It's just, I noticed this very tanned
true.
Hand. I handed it over to you.
That's my Google I.O. tan.
So this, the Mirage has got dual 6 degrees of freedom tracking cameras inside
that.
It, which makes it a much more enjoyable experience than the phone, I will say. Like immediately off the bat, this feels a lot more, a much better experience than Daydream on the phone.
Yeah, it's nice.
110 degrees.
It looks like something out of a Daft Punk video.
Yes, I agree. You do look very Daft Punky.
Why, thank you. Yeah, there really needs to be virtual turntables in here.
Yeah, white is not, white is, Burke just mentioned that it's too white, and white is not a good color for VR because of the reflection when you are putting your eyes in there. But anyway, so 110 degree field of view, and inside, for those of you who like specs, Snapdragon 835 with 4 gigs of RAM, so very close to what's inside a phone, 64 gigs on board with an expansion slot right there on the outside, and it runs what's called Daydream 2.0 operating system. So it looks a lot like the Daydream app on Android. It looks exactly like the Daydream app on Android. It's just that it has its own little, it's just that the settings are self-contained, and it's like its own little Android device. It has, and just so you know, it has a 5.5 inch display. Like, that's what you're looking at on the inside, which is also very interesting.
Burke
just brought out turntables to try and fit into the whole half. I can't reach your hand to the other side of the table. There's also a 4,000 milliamp battery in here, which lasts up to 2.5 hours, so not so far off from a phone. This thing is $400. I will say, same tracking things as the Daydream headset with the smartphone. Same tracking issues with the remote. I'm still having some issues getting that remote just sort of to stay in my line of sight when I tell it to, but the onboarding will like tell you to constantly fix it. So there you go.
Well, hang on. This video that we just saw says it's got perfect fit and everlasting comfort.
It's
Jason, is that everlasting comfort on your head right now?
It's everlasting-ish.
I started to get a little uncomfortable after about 25 minutes.
It fits snugger than snugglier than the Daydream.
Are you in something here right now, or are you just playing around?
I am. I'm in a wooded environment. There's a deer just walked out in front
of me. Yes.
I've got a flashlight. I'm looking.
You're doing the onboarding. Yep. Yeah. The little preview.
Mm-hmm.
Jason found his way inside the virtual reality world.
I mean, but you know, the thing that I'm really interested in is this idea of world sense tracking, which basically means when you move around, you get closer to things as you would in the real world. And yeah, I mean, I'm sitting down, so it's kind of a limited example of it, but it looks really good. I would love to jump into like a nice big experience and be able to
use that a little bit more.
That really helps the AR experience. I'm sorry, the VR experience too. Is that motion tracking on your head? It reduces the separation between the natural environment and what's in the goggles.
Yeah.
So that should help the experience last a little longer.
Mike 25 is right.
minutes. It is a long time within VR, so I could never last. I could never do any VR experience that long.
Yeah.
Mike is totally...
Oh, there's a dinosaur back there.
It's not a dinosaur. It's a porcupine, we later find out. Sorry to spoil for you.
I also wanted to say that the advertisement that we're watching with those people moving their head in those weird ways is not compelling at all.
No, their official advertising.
It just looks awkward the way that woman and those guys are moving their head around, you know. It does not make
you
want to
jump into the world of Daydream VR.
I will say that this is a much more accessible for me than having my phone be the VR thing, because I don't want to give my phone up. And I also don't really want to cloud it with all that Daydream stuff. My phone is business. It's business and socialization. And when I'm in VR, I want to be alone. I want to be left alone. So here's your standalone...
Listen, the assistant can make all your calls and make your appointments while you can stay in VR land. There you
Precisely.
Go.
Well, you know what I like about this that I'm hoping wouldn't happen, that always seems to happen with like the Daydream in a Daydream viewer putting a phone in, is hot face. You know, after like 20 minutes, your phone's like super hot, and because it's right up on your eyes, you start getting that kind of
hot phones,
sweaty hot face feeling. And I don't think you get that. I'm hoping you don't get that in here.
No hot phones. There is also a little companion device that goes with this, sort of.
Okay, I can take this off.
You
now,
can.
Probably.
Are you okay? How are you doing? How are you doing?
No, it's
welcome
good.
Back.
I can't wait to play around with it a little bit more.
I would say it's a lot more immersive than the Daydream on the phone.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. Having that sense of depth with the world sense really is a big difference.
It is. It is. It's getting there. So that's $400. About
that's expensive,
which is a lot of money compared to, well, I guess the Oculus is about the same right now, the Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
The Oculus Go,
right?
Yes, the other ones you need a computer, which we're not going to even talk about those because they don't even matter.
Different,
because it's all about Android, not all about computers. The other thing, that little companion device, is this is the little Lenovo Mirage camera. So you've got two cameras right here. These are two 13-megapixel stereoscopic fisheye cameras that shoot at 4K UHD. It is cute. It is very cute in real life.
Is this how you do it?
You don't have a viewfinder. Oh, I mean, the viewfinder is technically on my phone. So actually what I'm going to do is bring up VR Wave.
That's crazy.
We won't go over my shoulder just yet. So this is called a VR180 format camera, and it comes with an app called the VR180. So Jason's going to show you the hardware real quick. There's an expansion slot. There is a USB-C connector, and there are three different modes. There's photo mode, video mode, and then there's live streaming mode. So you can live stream to YouTube in 3D. Live stream in three dimensions.
In three dimensions.
Yeah. And actually, Jason, if you want to turn on the power buttons on the... No, that's the shutter button. The power button's a little one right next to the shutter button.
This one.
Yep. You got to press and hold it.
Okay.
Is anybody watching YouTube in 3D?
I don't know. Probably not, because there's no content for it, which is the point of
there
this.
You go. Yeah.
Chicken and egg scenario.
So that's the point of it. And this uploads directly to YouTube and Google Photos as you need. So it's not connecting to the camera, which is troublesome. But, and actually, Victor, if you want to do over the shoulder, I can show you the app real quick now. Boop. So this is what it looks like. You could pan around. Now, it's a 180. There we go. How's that? It's a 180 field of view. So when you're not going to see anything behind you. Which, when I hung out with Lenovo, and you can see me a little LaCroix there in the corner. When I hung out with Lenovo, they mentioned that, a lot of people aren't really using the full capacity of the 360 VR because a lot of time the action that's happening is in front of you, not behind you. So maybe it would be better just have the ambiance focused. So that's the idea of the Mirage cameras.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense to me.
I haven't used any of the live streaming features, so I can't really speak to that. But you can hit it in VR. There's a couple little buttons here at the bottom, and then you can upload these to Google Photos and then view them on the Mirage, no problem. That's it.
Cool.
That's it, and that's going to cost you $300.
So these are not inexpensive.
These are not inexpensive toys.
Toys, yeah.
These are toys that you have to really trust in the process to spend the money. Kind of like how I did when I dropped $250 for the Google Clips.
Yeah.
And I had really hoped to get a similar experience out of the Mirage camera, something that would be Google Clipsy and make me want to like bring it out places. But like, I just wasn't interested. I just wasn't interested in that 180 field of view. It's not really
I don't mind the 180 field of view.
It doesn't export very well to other formats. So like if you want to export it to Instagram, it's just like a nice photo. It looks kind of weird. It's just not really feeling it. Versus the Google Clips and the motion photos, which I find to be much more useful for my usage.
Interesting.
But well, I'm going to, keep playing with them.
I also just received these. I have them hanging out in the office as well, so I'm gonna give them a spin as well.
I don't know what your kids think about that standalone headset. That's what I'm.
Oh, I mean,
that's what I want to
know.
They'll
be nuts over something like this.
Because, and show them the camera too.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. It'll definitely be part of my time with it. Is to see how they do with
that.
We'll take a look at that. Thank you, Lenovo Mirage and the VR 180 camera. What is that one called again? The
Mirage camera.
Mirage camp.
Yep.
That makes sense. We just real quick here. I was a big fan of the Honor 8, and now apparently the Honor 10 is official, and it looks very similar to the Honor 8 in the sense that, I don't know if you remember the 8, it had that really kind of wispy blue, very striking look about it. It's a glass back, so you want to be careful, but very nice design. 5.84 inch 19:9 LCD display, high res. It does have a notch on the front because this is the notch world that we're living in right now. 24 megapixel front facing camera, dual 24 megapixel and 16 megapixel rear facing cameras. It has the Kirin 970 chipset, so it has the integrated artificial intelligence into the camera, that sort of stuff. Ultrasonic fingerprint sensor underneath the display. We're starting to see a little bit more of this. So when you see the front display, or anywhere on the device, you don't actually see a fingerprint sensor, and that's because it's underneath the screen.
The future.
Kind of feels that way. I think that's probably cool. I think I read that you have to push a little bit harder in order for it to register, but I don't think that that's a bad thing. The one thing I will say, though, is for having a fingerprint sensor under the display, it doesn't get rid of the bottom chin, which is interesting in this like bezel-less kind of trend that we're in right now.
It's good.
Are you sure?
I appreciate it.
It doesn't support the US LTE bands, from what I understand. So this is probably not a good import if you're in the US.
Bummer.
In some ways, similar to the Huawei P20, costs half as much. So €399 on this announcement. But it's a nice looking phone. I liked the Honor 8. I'm sure this will be pretty good too. It's just a bummer that it doesn't have the US LTE support. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Also what it is, the Google Pixel Buds are evolving. As an owner of Google Pixel Buds, I'm glad that what it is isn't necessarily what it is, because they've got some updates coming to these lovely little things, which I still use on a daily basis and barely ever have to charge. They're fantastic. So the Pixel Bud updates include new controls. Now if you got Pixel Buds, you can triple tap to turn power on and off. And then you can use the double tap on the bud to skip to the next track of whatever you're listening to. And that's something that you need to activate in your settings. And the new update found in Google settings also allows you to select which apps can speak notifications into your ear, which is crucial because, you know, you might want to make sure you get that text message from your wife or from your, you know, mother or father or whomever, but you don't necessarily want notifications from a new app update or some other app that you don't really care as much about. So prioritization of what apps can actually talk to you is super huge and important. So it's nice to see that Google Pixel Buds are evolving, which is pretty cool. But related to this or related to the Pixel brand, a friend of the show at EvLeaks posted that it says to expect a Pixel Watch with the coming in the fall with the fall hardware announcement using the upcoming Snapdragon Wear 3100 processor unannounced currently. So if Evan Blass is correct, as he usually is, we're going to see a Pixel branded watch in the fall. So we'll have to remember that in a few months.
Mike, hold up your wrists. Are you wearing an Android Wear watch right at this very moment? No, traditional.
That's a nice, pretty watch.
I was gonna say it's a very high resolution face.
It's the highest resolution you can get when you're building it with actual materials. So is anyone like, will this revitalize, or is that the intention? Do you think that this will
only
revitalize?
Only if they bring a really good health app.
Okay.
Give me a reason to wear this watch.
Yeah. Hey, that there's the tagline. Give me a reason to wear the watch.
That's fair.
Make Google do it. Make Google give me a reason to wear the watch. There you go.
All right, Flo, you got the next one.
I do have the next one. Here's another little Lenovo thingamajig since we were just talking about
it. Oh, yeah,
you're
on the Lenovo beat today.
Yes, the Lenovo beat. it's teasing its Z5 smartphone ahead of any sort of official announcement. Woo, I was having a hard time with that one. Third image in a week posted this week by VP of Lenovo, Cheng Chang. All three images show a practically bezel-less smartphone design with no notch, thank goodness.
So bezel-less without a notch.
Yes, 95% screen-to-body ratio. It is expected to launch in June sometime. And, of course, everyone's wondering, where the darn heck is the front-facing camera?
Yeah, if you've got a truly bezel-less phone, does it actually have a front-facing camera? Or is it under the glass, similar to like an under-the-glass fingerprint sensor? I don't know how you do that.
I mean, if it's just a prototype, we don't know, right?
Maybe it's
not
a prototype.
It could be there.
It's going to be coming. I know. Maybe. Maybe they're just not showing it to you.
Who knows?
I don't know. This is the but I do know that this is in here partially because, Ron, you say that this is the future right here.
I do.
Yeah.
I think that that's what it is. It's all I want. I want that all screen phone. It's going to happen sometime in our lifetime. And I'm glad this
probably very soon.
A step closer.
We already have digital assistants.
Chang Chang at Lenovo, I'm a fan.
And finally, this I added very late in the game, like pretty much right before the show started, which I think makes it qualify, Victor, if you're cool, because why not? It's time for some breaking news.
It's fun to munch a creamy, crunchy chocolate. O-R-E-O.
Gotta use it.
So before you reveal it, Jason, I will say that when I saw this, first I thought it was a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then my second thought was, I can't believe we haven't had this happen yet. So, yeah.
Well,
there you go.
Prepare yourselves. If this is the year of bezel-less phones, next year is the year of blockchain-powered phones.
I believe it.
HTC Vive creator announced today that an upcoming HTC phone called Exodus will feature native support for cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Blockchain, if you are unfamiliar, again, every time I talk about blockchain and crypto on the network, I have to remind you that, like, I am still learning all this stuff. It's a little confusing, but basically blockchain is the ledger that tracks the cryptocurrency that exists on the system. And being that it's tracking all of the cryptocurrency on the system, that ledger gets bigger and bigger every single day, right? Now, from what I understand, Father Robert looked into this for me, it's sitting at around 150 gigs in size and growing every hour. And so basically, HTC is saying here that they want to make this phone, that this phone would act as some sort of a node in the blockchain, which would mean that it would need, as far as I know, to have at least 150 gigs of storage in order to hold the ledger on it. And that's just at its current size, let alone if it's getting bigger and bigger, never smaller, by the way. So I don't know. This kind of feels a little Hail Mary to me. Like, what am I missing? HTC is very desperate right now. Why does this phone need to exist? Mike, are you a crypto head? Are you into the crypto thing?
No, of course it's. I think it's all very opportunistic right now. Obviously, anytime you mention, you know, Bitcoin and blockchain, people's ears perk up. Your assumption was very correct. I think you might be able to keep only a portion of the ledger on a device at the time, but it does grow bigger and bigger. I'm not really sure what this phone does or why you would want it.
Here's my take on this.
Go, Rob.
Now that Google has strategically invested in HTC and is giving them real stuff to do, HTC is just going to do crazy stuff like this.
That I would imagine would make Ron happy.
Right? Why
Ron
not?
Ron likes to see crazy stuff happen.
We have nothing to lose.
Well, yeah, we got nothing to lose. Google saved us. We're cool. We're going to make their next Pixel phones awesome. What if we did a phone with blockchain on it? Like, it's just like I want to see more crazy stuff like this from HTC. Cool. Do it.
HTC is not the only phone doing this. Apparently, there's another blockchain-powered phone by Siren Labs called the Finny. $999 for that one, releasing this fall. So it's a trend. It's beginning to be a trend anyways.
Is this going
to
be the new CES aisles? It's just going to be blockchain phones?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, my God. Actually, that's going to be CES next year.
Yeah, I think we're looking at CES blockchain phones. Blockchain is the new bezel-less, basically.
It's the new notch.
It's the new notch, yes. All right. I guess we'll wait and see how HTC does with that. Real quick, an email that I thought was actually an interesting dilemma. And when I started looking into this, I was like, man, I don't know the answer to this. And I'm not sure I came up with a perfect solution, but I came up with something. Ben wrote in to say, I used to be a diehard Android enthusiast. Your podcast was a cat's meow in the beginning, especially with Eileen Rivera. We can all remember Eileen. We miss Eileen very much. She's still alive. She's just doing other things.
She's having a great time in Australia at this very moment.
She is, actually. She's having fun in Australia with Tom. Ben says, I will never forget Ron's reaction to Google Glass. LOL. Unfortunately, I became ill with a vestibular disorder a few years ago that prevents me from looking at phone and PC screens for longer than a half an hour or so before I become disoriented. Wow, that sounds horrible. He says, I still catch a show every now and then when I'm not in bed all day with a vestibular migraine. Ouch. And still find it very informative. I was forced to move to the rural Smoky Mountain area from Chicago due to lack of income and excessive property tax in Illinois. My question is, I can't seem to find a GPS app that works very well in the sticks. Google Maps is not very accurate on most of the back roads and shows me driving on fields and farms or roads that aren't mapped by Google. I've sent in hundreds of corrections. Also, cell coverage is terrible around here. Can you recommend a GPS app that is tailored to rural areas? Due to my visual disorder caused by my VM, I can't research long enough to find something to fill this need. Can you guys recommend anything? I looked at a few different solutions, and it was kind of hard at first. I kept striking out, and then I came across an app called Maps.me. And this is an app that actually it's completely free, 100% free. Even all of the mapping data is free because it uses OpenStreetMap data, which is an open source alternative to map surfaces like Google Maps. And you can save those maps for offline. I don't know a whole lot about the Smoky Mountain area, but I'm guessing, just guessing, that based on what you can find through this app, I played around with it a little bit, you might find some crowdsourced map information that might cover some of these areas. I don't know if that's your solution, But that was the closest that I could find. And I spent a good part of my afternoon trying to find something that was perfect, trying to find a GPS app that's really like tailor made for backcountry and off-road and that sort of stuff. There's GPS apps that exist for people who are hiking and biking and that sort of stuff, but it doesn't integrate any sort of like driving directions into it. And so this kind of seemed to, in some ways, kind of cross both of those lines. So I don't know. That's something to check out. Maybe that will work for you. You guys have any thoughts on that? I mean, I imagine this is a problem that a lot of people have, trying to map the off-roads, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to suggest something, but then I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the back end is, so I can't.
Right, right. Yeah, so I don't know if that's an easy solution necessarily, but...
Got try one to start with. Before. Definitely got one to start with and try.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So do a search for maps.me, Ben, and let us know if that works out for you. And I hope that it at least is a little bit better than Google Maps for you. Yeah. All right, we are going to bust through this next section. We just got a couple of stories. It's time for some apps.
Prancing.
That's okay. Prancing Nougat in the Meadow is always enjoyable.
I missed that bumper. Yeah. I missed that.
There we go.
That one might have been my favorite of all the breaking.
I agree.
I remember when I first played that, I got a big question mark from you guys. Like, what did I just watch?
I did, but it was wonderful. I grew to love it. So.
It grew on us. All right, Ron, take it.
What I've also grown to love is Pocket Casts, which is the best podcast app around. And I was so happy a couple of days before Google I.O. when I saw that they posted an announcement calling it the next chapter, where the gang over at Pocket Cast announced that a collective group including NPR, WNYC Studios, WBEZ in Chicago, and This American Life, which is some big names, acquired Pocket Casts. Crazy.
Wow.
So they're going to be operating as a joint venture between those new owners and the original founders, and all the staff remains in place. A friend of the show, Russell Ivanovic, told The Verge that these organizations, quote, want to build open systems that everyone can use. And as part of the new joint venture, they get a new CEO in the form of formerly iHeartRadio and Clear Channel Owen Grover, who's, you know, been around in the audio space. So he'll be running the company from here on out. And Grover says that things won't change. They aren't in the ad business and they don't want to collect location data. That'll continue to be a platform for all podcasts. And of course, no price was disclosed on the acquisition, because if it's under a certain amount, you don't have to disclose it. So we at least know it's under $50 million. But congratulations to the Pocket Cast guys. Couldn't think of a nicer bunch of people to get acquired. And it seems that they got acquired by a lot of people who believe in podcasts, want to see it continue. I think this is going to be the beginning of great things for Pocket Casts. I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter that we were unfortunately tagged in, people kind of questioning the purchase and not believing Russell and the other folks in their intentions. And listen, these aren't the kind of guys who are trying to sell a company and walk away from it. They believe in Pocket Casts. Yeah. So when they say everything's going to stay the same, this is just going to be good things. I believe it personally. I don't think this is a case of Microsoft buying an app and then retiring it and putting the engineers to work on something else.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
But we also saw a little – the timing was immaculate, because coming out of Google I.O., we saw a little sneak peek of a material theme update coming to Pocket Casts from Google themselves. It was actually revealed in a sneak peek of material redesign and material theming, and Pocket Cast was the subject of it, which is pretty cool. This is a Material Partner Studies post from the Material Design website, and it's pretty neat to see them applying these kind of things. Clearly, Pocket Cast is a big gun in the world of Android apps, so yes. It's neat to see Google using them as a test case. If you scroll down on that post as well, Victor, you can see the side by side between the current design and the material redesign. And whoever did this article, Mr. Nick Fernandez, you listen all about Android, and I salute you.
So. No, I think, you know, yes, we are in the before. I think that's from the Pocket Casts app listing page.
Oh, is it?
Yes, because they've always included us on at least one shot in their screenshots, and I've always that's been awesome. Super thankful about that.
So I put an actual screenshot of side-by-side on my Engadget article, FYI, that I pulled from my own app, which is why it has, like, all my Bravo podcasts next to, like,
is all about Android in there?
Yes, of course. But I just want to add to that real quick, that so disclosure, Russell and I, we do the Material podcast together, and that's not actually what the next version of Pocket Cast is going to look like.
Oh, it's not.
It's just a case study. It's just a Material theming case study. And I found that out when I was, because I actually talked to Russell for this article, because I used their case study, kind of weave it into the story, okay? and he had mentioned that it's just a prototype. It's just a case study.
Okay,
and
my apologies.
The idea, well, no. I think it needed to be made a little more clear in the blog post.
Yeah. It reminds me of when we were at Google I.O. a couple of years ago. We saw the Google Play Music redesign, and everyone was like, yeah, when's that coming? It was with the Material design announcement a few years back, and that particular design never happened. And it's like, that was never our intention. Yeah. That was just a case
this
study.
This is just to show what like actionable parts of apps are going to look like in Material theming and all that. But it's great that Pocket Cast was used for that, because now we got an idea.
Absolutely.
We got an idea.
And then finally, Flo.
Yes. So the Google.
I think it's interesting that you ended up with this one because of the whole journalism aspect.
So first let me tell you the news. Let's not bury the lead. The Google News app was redesigned and relaunched last week, just in time for Google I.O. It has the AI integrated to help monitor like your usage and interest and like what you're reading within the app to help surface better articles and sources for you. It includes hyperlocal news. So if you live in a small town, you're going to get that news. It also includes full coverage news, so related stories that follow a common thread, a timeline that scales backwards during big moments, kind of a little similar to what you would see like on a Twitter moment, for instance, just kind of see like a collection of sources all covering the same thing if it's a big news story. And there's also a new news, a better newsstand element, which allows you to subscribe with Google to paid content, which is a nice sort of thing that a lot of iOS apps have that wasn't really brought over to Android. So that's kind of nice. It's a new news app. I haven't actually used it. So I can't speak of its usefulness just yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just saw the app appear on my home screen. So I was like, oh, okay, sure. I'll install this and play around with it. So I'm curious to see. They definitely, are AI was a really big deal, as it continues to be with Google and at Google I.O., and they're really integrating it into their news app to kind of like learn about, the content that you would want to see and give you kind of view full coverage. Ron, avert your eyes. I know you don't want to see anything about Solo, but, it gives you this whole timeline of like 4 months ago or 4 days ago, a month ago. 3 months ago.
Yes, Ron.
You can go backwards in time and kind of,
I'm experience. Less sensitive to Solo spoilers because it's such a train wreck.
I'm sorry, Jason. I wanted Ron to say that for the record.
Okay. I've heard good things, though. I'm excited. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, I'm excited
for
it.
I've got tickets for Thursday night. I'm there. Don't get me wrong.
Everyone's going to still go see it. It doesn't mean it's going to be the best Star Wars.
Okay, Mike, thumbs up or thumbs down? You are the deciding vote. Solo, yes or no?
Sorry, thumbs down. I'm kind of an old school Star Wars guy.
Don't like any of the new Star Wars?
I wouldn't say I don't like any, but I'm kind of an old school, old generation Star Wars guy, so I kind of have my roots in the originals.
You and me both, Mike. You and me both. But I'm gonna do it. It's fine. I'm in. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
Of course you're going to do it.
I will go on record at this point, though. I am not in for whatever the hell they put on Chewbacca, by the way.
Oh.
Don't change his bandolier. It works. It's the perfect outfit. Don't change it just to change. Oh, sorry. See, this is what happens.
This is what happens, Google News. This. All right. And with that, it's time to jump into the arena and duke it out with Chewbacca.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena!
And it was not one, but 2 weeks ago we had our last arena. That was May 1st, and we're going to check in on that. And Paper Football is the winner with 37% of the vote. Who is Paper Football?
Our guest.
Chuki Chan
is the guest.
Oh, that was Chuki. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So Paper Football. So a guest gets that win. Second place is Picture
Chuki
This.
Chuki gets that win.
Well, yeah.
I know it's for guests. I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. She was the one that got it for.
Just putting it out there.
Okay. 28% for pictures this. Busy Kid, 19%, third place. And then One Clock Free, 16%, with the last place.
I still think One Clock Free is pretty good. But so what those results are after 19 weeks of All About Android Arena fighting, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, guests are back in first place with 53 points. There you go. Guest on top. I'm in second with 51 points. The gap is still quite large. Jason's in third place with 39 points. And Florence is last with 36 points. Sorry, Flo.
At least we're back there together. High five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So does that mean, Ron, does that mean you're going first?
It does mean I go first. All right. And I have a pretty light, pretty simple, well-designed app that does a handy little thing for you. My app is called, it's not my app. I mean, somebody else made it. I used it, but, it's an app called Nate, and Nate is a subscription manager. Cute. He's also very cute. There's a little nice little icon. If you click on, there you go. You can see Nate right there. So basically I remember, 10 or 15 years ago, I was having a conversation with my dad, and my dad said, you know, what's going to kill us? Micropayments. And I was like, you're crazy, Dad. And sure enough, he's right. Because I go through my checking account and it's a litany of $4.99, $7.99, $9.99, all these subscriptions that I charge monthly. And sometimes you don't even know what you're subscribed to. Nate helps you keep track of your subscriptions. So what you do here is you, Jason, hit the action button and it brings up a list of all the commonly popular subscriptions, and it's got everything in here. If you scroll through this list, it's got Netflix, Spotify, Amazon Prime. But if you scroll all the way down, it had one of my server. I have some servers on DigitalOcean that was on there. I mean, like it's really deep in terms of the things that it's listing as popular. VSCO, that photo app is there. Tinder. Tidal, who uses Tidal? So they're all already set up there. So if you subscribe to Tidal, you can add it. All you do is hit the plus button and you put in what currency you're in, how much you're paying, whether it's monthly or yearly, and add it. And there you go, $17.98 per month you're paying in subscription so far. And it just keeps track of all your subscriptions. That's all it does. You can, once you have them loaded in, you can sort them by name, by last added, price highest to lowest. And then going into the settings, if you go back and hit the gear, very simple settings. You just set your default currency. That's all you need to do. So very, very simple. Nate, track your subscriptions. There it is.
It's going to make me feel bad about how much money I
subscriptions. So Jason, you did run into it's free to download, but if you add more than three subscriptions, you unlock the in-app purchase. So hit unlock, and it will tell you how much it is. And that is for just, it would be very funny if it was a monthly subscription. But luckily it's not. It's just 99 cents, one time buy.
Nope, just one time, thankfully.
Just one time. So for 99 cents, you can support your developers and get a handy little app that will help you manage your subscriptions. Keep track how much money you're spending. There it is. Really nice, very simple design. I like these guys. So. Yeah.
Nice.
This is a good Chromebook app, too.
And that is called Nate. All right. My app is up next, and this is going to be a good app if you happen to do a lot of, let's say, cycling or running or walking or any sort of activity where you're going to want to kind of track.
Me?
What?
Sorry. Just me?
I don't know. Is this you?
No. Sorry, keep going. I
was talking to everyone, but I leave that open.
No, it's okay. Keep going. I was trying to make a joke about myself being lazy. That's all.
I think, yes, Flo, you will want to use Relive, and only you, because you want to know why, Flo? When you use this app, you can create these cool little maps that follow, that kind of track via GPS. And if you have, you know, like a GPS tracking device or just your phone, which is what I use this for, you can do this. When you start your exercise routine, you know, say you're going out for a jog, you start it and it's going to basically capture where you go via GPS. And when you're done, it you know, obviously it logs the details around that run. This would be my Sunday run, which is actually just me walking downtown with my family and then getting in a car and driving home. So it looks like I went a really long ways. But anyways, what you end up with after a little while of churning is you end up with this little animation that kind of takes you through the map and gives you kind of a cool visualization of what you've done. Now, in the city, this isn't that impressive. It's just me driving down the street and going home, essentially. But if you have this, you know, when you're out in the mountains or whatever, I imagine that would kind of look cool, you know.
Kind of use that for a trip.
Bird's eye view of float, you know, of your entire
trip. Or like if you're like walking around Paris for the day,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Then you could do like a nice like it's like a drone following you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's like a Google drone, a Google Maps drone. But anyways, kind of a cool way to visualize your exercise, essentially.
And you can share it with social media, right?
You can share it out, of course. I could share it out
pretty
easily there. Or I could share out just all the awesome information of what I actually did if I wanted to do that as well. But pretty easy. Just go into record, you hit start, and it follows along, and you can actually associate different images along the way as well and embed those into the experience and all that stuff.
It's so it seems like that's kind of a new version of My Tracks.
Oh, okay. I haven't used my Tracks.
Google My Tracks was deprecated. It was that old app that Google created that allowed you to track your exercise and you could display it on a map. It was super useful, but in Google fashion, they got rid of it.
Yeah, as they do.
It's like the same sort of thing, but better.
Yeah, good. I completely forgot about My Tracks. That makes sense because they deprecated it. But there you go. Relive. And, you know, you can do probably a little bit more with this than you could on My Tracks. If you're looking for something simple, this might not be the way to go, although it's a really easy app to use. So check it out. I like the visualization that you get after the fact. And mine was super simple compared to what you're seeing here. But it's kind of a cool way to take a look at what you've done and relive your experience, as they say. All right, Mike, I have your app installed. I have not played it yet, though, so I'm going to launch it. You can go ahead and talk about it, and I'll get sucked in.
Okay, so I wanted to pick an app that would hopefully win because I've never had good luck in the arena. And I picked a Battle Royale app, which I tend to like apps that I can kind of mindlessly play, listen to podcasts as I'm playing them, kind of relax. I don't have to kind of think about too much strategy or whatever. This game is a racing game. It's a top-down racing game where basically you're a single car in a arena and you basically drive around this arena and try to collect little crowns, you know, little coins or whatever. And the more you collect, the more different cars you can then get to, you know, get different abilities and different ways to do things. So what I really like about the game is it's super simple to play. You just turn right or left. You don't have to accelerate, decelerate or anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was not playing it very simply. I'm happy you explained it.
Yeah, super simple. The cool thing is each of the different cars, and they've got, too bad you can't play as me because I have, you know, all the good cars with all the extra good, you know, guns and stuff. But basically, there are different power-ups that you can get. And if you're different cars, you get different power-ups. And the goal is just to drive around and collect crowns. The more crowns you collect, the more power-ups you get, the more abilities you get. There's a bunch of different tracks, which they update. Every couple months, they add a new track. And at each time, there's about 6 different tracks you can play. And then there's probably about 50 different cars that each have different physics and different attributes. The bigger cars are harder to crash, but they drive slower, whereas you can get a really small car that drives really fast and it's hard to hit. So it's a really fun game. Doesn't cost anything to play. Does seem to have a lot of ads, interspersal ads, so you play it around and then you watch an ad between rounds to watch the next one there. You finally got a crown.
Finally. Awesome. Thank you for the finally. Yeah, I was looking. I was like, I'm doing something wrong. There we go.
So it's just a fun little game. It's just mindless. And it is, as I mentioned, a battle royale game. So you're playing against all sorts of other live players from around the world. And their goal is to get crowns and knock you out as well. So that's it. Super simple, fun game to play just kind of mindlessly and just kind of enjoy what you're doing. So
nice. Do you? So is battle royale, how many people do you know are playing at the same time?
So it's like, a little different than like Fortnite where you try to be the last survivor. Basically, in this game, you just drop into an existing arena. So there's always a certain amount of cars in the arena and you play as long as you can until you get killed and then you get kicked out and come back in.
Okay. So. That's cool. I'm going to definitely play around with this a little bit more when I'm supposed to be working.
So if you hit win a car now, you'll see that once you have... get a certain amount of coins, you go to this little place where you just get to pick, and then basically you go to this, you know, where they'll give you another car.
So what am I getting?
Oh! Burp, burp.
Yeah! I got a luxury car!
Nice.
Pretty cool. You can drive an Uber in that game, then.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get cars is to go to that, get the random game. But it's really fun. There's a lot of variability, and it's really kind of mindless and just kind of something you can zone out and play, which is something I frequently am looking for, this casual style game that doesn't require a lot of thought at the end of the day.
So. Nice. Love it. This is called Crash of Cars. Yeah, you should check it out for yourself. And finally, Flo.
Yes.
What you got?
So, I brought an AR app to the arena today. So, let's see how we're going to do this demo. It's not a Google one.
Okay.
Because I'm not allowed to do that. But it did. I did find it in the Google Play Store when AR Core was sort of made a thing. And I think this uses it. So,
okay.
Let's see it. It's called Figment AR. And it is, okay, there we go. It's working. It is super easy to use. That is literally all you do.
A dancing ice cream on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Oop.
If you've ever wanted a dancing ice cream on the table,
there it is. You can do it. Dancing ice cream on the table. You can put a little. There you go. Oop. We got a little dinosaur guy in there, too.
So it's similar to the AR stickers that Google has, right?
And then you just record. I'm recording you guys. What are you doing? Are you just walking around? Okay, cool. And then you post it to the meads, the social meads, if you want.
Meads.
Social meads. How can I shorten things? There is really, like, this app is just, it's just, there's emoji that you can insert. There's a couple of, like, holiday-themed ones that you can use. There's a little emoji. There's poop.
Okay, everybody good.
Everybody loves a poop.
Good. Check that off the list.
And then kind of beyond that, it's, I mean, that's about it. It's pretty, you can put in, let's see, a little frame here. Come on, what are you doing? Okay, there you go. Oh, look, there's a window. Oh, I like this one. This is going to be hard for me to show.
Yeah.
But okay, so what you can do is in this little window, I tried this the other day and I made a little video, but I'm not going to try and dig it out. But you can put a picture in this window so that when you move it around, you go in, you can see like what the picture is in the frame. So you could create like a gallery of photos if you want to do and then like have somebody walk through them and pretend to make like a museum in your living room or something of like family photos. Seriously, like you can get pretty creative with it. I'm just showing you the very limited pieces of it because of the camera angle that I'm at.
It's hard to show these just, off in this set.
But I, you know, it's not just Google's. You can use little filters that you could put on too.
Well, and not everyone can install the Google camera app, right?
Yeah.
Is that only
as far as I understand, it's the Pixel.
Okay.
So yeah.
Not everybody's going to have the access to the.
So this is just a fun little developer made.
Nice.
The world of AR is at our fingertips, folks, and this is what we've done with it. We have a dancing turkey. There we go.
Yep.
Whew.
Yep.
Don't worry, everyone. The future's going to be fine.
Oh, did you see that? What they just did? Yeah. So you can make like a little transition. So you like walk into like your vacation photo.
Okay, that was pretty cool.
Whoa. Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
That's the way it works.
That's neat. And then it was all ruined by a dancing pumpkin in the subway.
Look, a little something for everyone, all right,
Ron?
Listen,
it's cute, and I hope to find a way to use it.
Yeah, good luck with that. Keep it posted.
Figment AR is the name of the app, and you can check
it out.
It's
neat. I mean, it's a neat execution for sure, but yeah.
All right, it's time for you to vote. Twit.to/AAApoll 369 for episode 369. Twit.to/AAApoll 369. Is your favorite app Nate? Track your subscriptions. Is it Relive? Is it Crash of Cars or Figment AR? Place your vote and we will check in on it next week, but not before we see
what Victor
places his vote for. Relive.
Really? Nice. Wow. I thought it was going to be Crash. I thought it was going to be Crash of Cars.
Victor,
there you go.
Are you taking nature walks?
Maybe.
Who's asking? Relive.
It looks like a fun thing doing.
Yeah. It's cool. When you're going out and about, you might as well throw it on and see what you end up with. Relive and Nate right now have the votes, but that'll change. It always does.
We have a week.
It always will.
Oh, last time we had 2 weeks.
Yeah. Not that much time this time around. Mm. But we are out of time, and it's been a lot of fun. I think we did a really great retrospective on Google I.O.
Yes, you did. I'm exhausted.
And Mike, we really appreciate you joining us for the look
Thank
back
you so much, Mike.
On this year's Google I.O.
Of course.
It was great having you along. What do you want people to know? What are you working on right now? What are the things that people need to know about what you're up to?
So I never really plug myself, MikeWolfson.com. You saw that the whole time. What I would plug is if you enjoy getting together and talking about Google and I.O. and stuff, I am a big proponent of the Google developer groups. I run one here in Phoenix, and we're going to be having a I.O. extended where everybody gets together to talk about I.O. And basically we do simple presentations kind of about the things we learned here. So those are still happening all over the world. If you didn't go to one last week where they generally do them during the keynote and stuff, check events.google.com/IO/extended to see if there's an event happening in your neck of the woods. It's going to be free, full of technologists and people that just want to hang out and chat about Google and Android and that sort of thing. So check it out.
Check it out. Mike, we really appreciate you taking time to do this each and every year.
Thanks.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Anytime. Flo, what about you? What's the word? Is the bird the word?
I have to do my website today. Oh. I've been updating my website with the work that I've been working on. That's FlorenceIon.com.
Yay!
Those of you that are wondering, and I just posted all the links to my Google I.O. coverage. Most of it was podcasting.
Nice.
TBH.
Nice.
A lot of podcasting. Oh, yeah, and that's the photo that I snuck after our interview.
This one?
Yeah, some nice French girl offered to take a photo for me right outside.
Oh, awesome.
Oui, mademoiselle.
I was like, oui, madame. But yeah, so you can just go see like the few, you know, little things I did from Google I.O. Last week was very edifying.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff coming up.
Lot of stuff. Awesome. Thank you. What about you, Ron?
I've had no interactions with French girls, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
But
that was unexpected.
Anyway, if you follow me on Instagram at RonXO, while they were at Google I.O. podcasting, you could have seen the lovely dinner I had on my birthday. So there's got that going for me. And you can also follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where I post my usual brand of nonsense. I likely will be appearing on a podcast about Deadpool. I'll have more next week about it. And then I'll definitely be podcasting about Solo, the aforementioned Solo. So when those movies come out, I'll let you know where you can find those over at ifanboy.com.
But, awesome, man. So. Thank you. Thank you for staying up late this evening.
Anytime. My pleasure. Love you guys.
And thank you, Victor, for all that you do. Really appreciate you voting for my app. Thank you.
No problem, man.
I will pay you after the show for doing that.
Yep.
In Oreos? You're going to give him the whole box of Oreos?
Yep, you will. Yeah, I've got a whole package of Oreos that has your name written all over it. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com. By the way, that album thing that went out to Kickstarters, 2 days on Thursday. I didn't even realize this. It hit me this afternoon. I was like, wait a minute. When did I say that was releasing to everyone? And I looked at my own website and realized it's 2 days from now. So I've got some work to do, but anyways, if you really want to listen to the album, it's going to be open to the public on the 17th. It'll be in all the places. I think it's like already posted to all the services, just waiting for the 17th to happen. So go there and listen to it. I'll also have kind of like a link on the site, because I offer all my music for free with the option to pay. But really, it's just free. Just enjoy the music, because I enjoy making it. There you go. YellowGoldMusic.com. But that's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email if you like, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Arena Apps List can always be found at twit.to/AndroidApps. And we really appreciate everyone who works hard to keep that updated. Thank you. Show notes and past episodes, twit.tv/AAA. You can go there and see the hero image where we're all looking very different and weird. come watch us live. Tickets at twit.tv. You can sit in the audience just like Portia and Jake, who are sitting here waving at us. And it's really great to have you guys along. It makes us feel important. And catch us live on the stream every Tuesday. There they are. If you can't make it into the studio, which you probably can't, at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Yeah. Okay. Should we taste some Oreos?
Yes, please, because I'm actually a little hungry. So
okay.
I'd love something to munch on before the show.
And I think Ron's in on this, too.
I am on it. Thanks to your generosity, I got a box of Oreos. So we're doing this simultaneously for the next few weeks.
It makes me really happy when we get to all do it together.
I'm not sure.
You want to tell the story?
So I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about this. First, let's set it up. This is one of the current new flavors that you can find if you go into the grocery store right now. Cherry Cola Oreo with popping candy, as you can see.
Oh.
Red filling and white filling, but the red filling seems to have popping candy in there. Now, I'm going to preface this. I'm going to set it up by just telling you something that I think spells doom.
Uh-oh.
You can spell this package of Oreo D-O-O-M. Because my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, is a fan of anything that contains any amount of sugar whatsoever. She tried one of these and she said it was disgusting.
Uh-oh.
Which is not something I'm normally used to hearing from my kid, that anything with sugar is disgusting. She thinks it's disgusting, so I don't have a whole lot of hope here for it. So I'm going to go ahead and open this. And, oh, we're seeing
a lot of... Yeah. I'm not pleased by this, Jason. After I open this, it doesn't look natural.
Well, no.
Look how red it is.
No part of that red is natural coloring.
Hang on, though, because I just opened it up.
Yeah?
And it smells like paint thinner.
It does.
It kind of smells like paint thinner, from far away. Like, I haven't held it up to my nose.
It smells like paint thinner.
Oh, yeah.
This is not good. So if you notice, it's got two tones. It's got red and white filling, right?
Okay. Go ahead and twist off so we can see.
Before we bite into this, this is cherry cola flavor with popping candy, supposedly.
This is one of those moments where the packaging really sells it a lot better than the reality.
Oh, it sure does. Oh, dear Lord.
Okay, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but I guess I'm going to have to
do it. Let's do it, fam.
Okay, we did it to ourselves.
Let's just do it. Oh, that is not good.
Where's the pop? Oh. Oh, there's the popping.
Oh, my God.
Can you hear it on the mic?
Oh, my God.
No.
Sorry, everyone out there.
Oh, I don't even want to finish this.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. Even one bite is good enough. Go ahead, little hand. Take the package away and never return it.
When the popping hits your tongue, it stings.
I think that
it's the paint thinner.
Yeah, I think the paint thinner was actually a really accurate assessment. This does not taste good. I'm really surprised that they went ahead with it. To be honest, it's not delightful.
So let's also reference the cover of the package. Is that this is part of their hashtag My Oreo Creation contest, where they've come out with three new flavors, and if you go to myoreocreationcontest.com, because. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in now.
Yep.
You can vote for cherry cola, kettle corn, or pina colada, which I do believe we're going to do all three flavors, right, Jason?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yep. I also have to point out one more thing. We've got a couple of awesome guests in the studio here, Portia and Jake. They're here from Baltimore. Today is actually their 30th wedding anniversary. They chose to. They are huge fans of this show, apparently, which is awesome. Every Tuesday night.
Why don't we celebrate with them by giving them some Oreos?
Well, that's the thing.
They just refused
them on their 30th wedding anniversary.
They're not going to stay in this day. Not going to stay in this day.
Right. Listen. Listen,
okay, yes, you trust us.
Don't come into somebody's podcast studio and turn down free Oreos, especially on your anniversary.
Although I think what they're saying is they trust our opinion, and if we are speaking so lowly about these Oreos, they're following it. So
they're missing an opportunity to be added to the Oreo ratings page and be part of all of that Android history.
That's true.
All you got to do is take one bite and give us a rating. Come on,
Ron. No, apparently no. I think the answer is like a very.
They really not want the full All About Android experience?
If the full All About Android experience involves eating that cookie, I don't think that they do. Wow. Hey, there they are. Bye-bye.
Happy anniversary, man.
Absolutely. Even Burke doesn't like it. All right.
Yeah. Burke didn't even finish it.
I'm guessing that this might get one of the lowest scores. What would you give it, Flo?
I agree with Burke. 3.
A 3?
Yeah.
Ron, what would you give it?
I'm going 2.
Wow.
Yeah, like I personally don't find any redeeming qualities. I'm going 1. Boom.
No, I'm with you, Jason. I'm reversing to a 1. I'm going to a 1. You know why? Because normally
with these
Oreo moments, I would take the package and bring it to work and share it with my coworkers because my wife doesn't want Oreos in the house, which I don't blame her. I'm just going to throw these out. I'm sorry, Jason. We wasted money on these, but these are, I wouldn't give these to an enemy.
Now I understand why my 8-year-old said that's disgusting. And she hasn't eaten one since.
Your 8-year-old was a beacon of knowledge in this.
Listen, hashtag my Oreo creation. I'm not going to be voting for cherry cola, that's for sure.
You think you're going to be voting for kettle corn? I think that's going to be disgusting, too.
Between the three, I have high hopes for the pina colada thins.
Yeah,
because I do love too. A good pina colada.
I think that's probably going to be the winner of the three.
It's just coconut.
Yeah.
All I got to say is someone at Nabisco is drunk with power because not only did they get these three wackadoo flavors made, but they made a whole campaign around it. And I'm actually going to go vote in it like an idiot.
No, because they made these flavors and they're like, well, we have to do something with these things. What do we do to make sure that people buy them?
I know,
a contest.
Here's my problem about the crazy person in Nabisco. They spent so much time figuring out how they didn't think about if they should.
No, that's true. It's a good point.
So,
all right.